So hey everybody, we are dialed into Tech Vibe Radio. This is Gina Winstead, and we are boldly going to go where no tech council has gone before.
I think many people have gone.
They've gone there. We're going to try to go somewhere else. We are here at Still City Comic Con at the Monroeville Convention Center, and you might not recognize my voice because you're used to Jonathan Kersting and Audrey Russo running the show, but I guarantee many of you will recognize the voice of our esteemed guest today. So I have the privilege of interviewing George Takei as my first solo interview. So thank you so much for doing this and helping me break into the limelight and the career of podcasting.
I appreciate that. Open the door so that you can boldly go where you've never gone before.
Yes, yes. You are famous for that, and you're most notably known for your role as Sulu on Star Trek, and you've also had a career in acting, on film, on stage, and also as an activist. So we're really impressed with the work that you've done for the LGBTQ community, and I thank you for that. We usually start with some softball questions. I did want to ask you a little bit about Pittsburgh, but I found out that you've lived here for 4 months recording a show, so
called Super Ninjas.
Super Ninjas.
It's a Nickelodeon show. Oh, and preteens.
That's awesome. So some of these younger folks here can participate and catch that on Nickelodeon. That's
I was
great.
A ninja master, and I taught my grandson the art of ninjahood.
If only everyone had a grandfather who taught them the art of ninja, I think the country would be a better place right now. So, since we are the Pittsburgh Tech Council, I do want to ask you, what's one piece of technology that you think you cannot live without?
Certainly the phone, iPhone.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite app that you use consistently?
You use many of them. But, you know, on Star Trek, we had that amazing device back in the 1960s that we wore on our hip. No cords attached. Wherever we went, we could flip it open and start talking. That was amazing in those days. Mm-hmm. And that was supposed to be the 23rd century. We're only in the 21st century, and not only do we talk on it and not even flip it, but we buy things on it, we watch movies on it, we do all sorts of things on it.
It's so,
so
powerful.
We have gone beyond the imagination of the 20th century, mm-hmm. where a flip phone was an amazing, staggering piece of future technology.
I agree. And we are all obsessed with those, with our phones and our apps and everything. So that's a really great answer. And I know that you've really pioneered the industry as one of the first Japanese-American actors on primetime television and as an LGBTQ activist.
Well, I'm Asian-American. Sulu was not a Japanese character.
He was supposed to represent
Gene Roddenberry wanted that character to represent all of Asia. But Asian surnames are all nationally specific. Tanaka is Japanese. Wong is Chinese. Kim is Korean. And the 20th century Asia was turbulent with warfare, colonization, rebellion, and he didn't want to suggest taking sides by having a nationally specific name. He wanted a name that suggested all of Asia. So he had a map of Asia pinned on his wall, and he was staring at it. And he found off the coast of the Philippines the Sulu Sea. And he thought, the waters of a sea touch all shores. Pan-Asia. So that's, I mean, he really thought deeply. I mean, he said, you know, Starship Earth's real strength is in its diversity, coming together and working in concert as a team.
Yes.
When, in fact, 20th century Asia was warfare among Asians, you know, all these different countries. And so he was a real visionary, and he wanted to find a name that suggested all of Asia. So Sulu was not a Japanese character. He was an Asian character.
And that's really groundbreaking thinking as far as the lines of diversity in film and in television. And I know that you've done a lot of work on that forward. You recently came out with your book, They Called Us Enemy. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that. I know that you talk about your experience in the internment camps for Japanese Americans during World War II, which had to have been a very difficult time. And I appreciate you sharing that. And it really reminds me of Mouse by Art Spiegelman, because it's a graphic novel, and that's something that I was had to read in college, and it's very impressive work. And as somebody who's really gone through something where you've had to persevere and watch your family suffer through basically imprisonment as a child and as adults, can you give me some piece of advice for other people who are trying to persevere through adversity?
Well, I think, you know, when we were incarcerated, I was 5 years old. Mm. So with my graphic novel, I tell that story from the eyes of a five-year-old kid, me. And for me, actually, a Southern Californian kid being plunked down in the swamps of Arkansas, it was an exotic place. I mean, the bayou, trees grew out of water, and their roots snaked in and out of the water. I'd never seen anything like that in Southern California. And along the edges, there were tiny little black wiggly fish swimming about that I could scoop up and catch and put in the jar and watch them grow.
Wow.
And one morning, I noticed little stubs on their sides. And every day, it grew and grew to look like legs. And then the tail fell off. And this creature hopped out of my jar.
Oh, it was a frog.
It was a frog. I mean, you know, magical things happen.
That's
fish
amazing.
That turn into frogs and hop out of the jar I had them in. So, you know, I tell that story from the eyes of a five-year-old. But at the same time, I lead the reader into the larger, harrowing experience that my parents had. They were Americans who had nothing to do with Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents are the ones that immigrated here, and they were part of contributing to America. My maternal grandparents as farmers, my paternal grandfather as a journalist in San Francisco. And yet, because we look exactly like the people that bombed Pearl Harbor, we were put into a barbed wire prison camp. Before that, we had a curfew right after Pearl Harbor. We had to be home, and we were imprisoned in our home at night. And then when we came out, we discovered that our bank accounts were frozen. Our life savings was taken away. And we lost our home, everything. And then they imprison you, innocent people, with no charges, no trial.
Wow.
Due process is a central pillar of our justice system. That disappeared. As a child in behind those barbed wire fences, I was, confused by it, but my real experience was exploration, making discoveries.
So that's how you persevered
through
that.
But as a teenager, I couldn't reconcile what I read in the civics books, all men are created equal, equal justice under the law. This is a nation ruled by law. And that was the most lawless thing that happened to us. And so I had many conversations with my father, and I learned about American democracy and that it has noble ideals, but it's dependent on people who cherish those ideals and actively participate in the democratic process. And so it was as a teenager and an adult, I learned about the horrors that can be in a democracy, that can be perpetrated on people. And I'm telling that story now as a graphic memoir, because something exactly like that and worse is happening on our southern borders.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us today. It sounds like you really had a great story for people to look to and to learn how to persevere through the future. I could talk to you all day. You're a very interesting person, highly intelligent. I look forward to following up with you in the future, maybe with a few of our other questions. And thank you for joining us today. I do have one last question I just want to ask that's very important. Is there any technology today that exists that would help to prevent something like that happening in the future?
Any technology that would give people education. We have to know the human mind, and that technology we have all around us. I mean, on our phones, we can get education. We can be a college student on our phones, our computers, our all the technologies that we have.
Great.
But key is education.
And we will continue to do that work. Thank you so much for meeting with us today, George. This is Gina Winstead with the Tech Vibe radio show. If you want to learn more about us, please go to pghtech.org. Thank you.